You know, normally when I find out the pastor's going out vacation, I begin to pray. And the Lord normally lays a message on my heart. This time was different. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I didn't have any idea where I was going. So I kept praying. And then Monday we took the kids to the doctor. And the doctor had a conversation with us in her office about a passage of Scripture. And I said, I never thought about it that way. So from Monday on, I started studying a very familiar passage of Scripture that I've heard since childhood. And got a new perspective on a very familiar passage of Scripture found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. And then I remembered back to my college days and remembered a skit that we did called The Part Bench. And if you would, I can't act out all the parts. But I would like you for a moment, since we've had beautiful weather lately, to think about yourself on a park bench. In a beautiful open area, just you and God. And all of a sudden, from one side or the other, we'll use this side, a couple comes up and they see you there and they look and then they take a far path away from you as they possibly can and just keep staring at you as they walk. And they start whispering between each other about you. Maybe you've been there, maybe you haven't. Maybe you know somebody that's been there. Or then you get a student, and you get a student that's been through witnessing training, EE, faith, whichever one, but their youth minister gave them a track. And they finally built up enough courage to witness to somebody. But then they start having doubts, so they start talking to themselves. I know I can do this. We went through this. All I got to do is tell them Jesus loves them. All I got to do is give them this and tell them Jesus loves them and they'll get saved. So they take off in a sprint and they run by you and they say, Jesus loves you. Or then two others may see you coming down and they spot you and they've come flying through the gate of the park that you're at and they start singing, Oh, when the saints go marching in. And I'm not going to sing because I'd like to have an audience to preach to this morning and everybody will leave if I start singing. And then one yells to the other, Do you see what I see? And the other says, Yeah, a sinner, attack! And they go full sprint all the way up. And they come up to you. Do you know what you are? You're a sinner. You know what a sinner is? Yeah, sinner's vile. Evil. It's wicked. And that's what you are. You need Jesus. Brother, pray for her. Dear God, heal this wretched sinner from all their sins in Jesus' name. Amen. So you know what you need to do now? Repent. And they start swinging their Bibles at them, at you. And they say, repent. They're thinking that that's the proper way to share the love of Jesus. Then the fourth person comes up. Now think about yourself after all these events have occurred just to you in this very short period of time. Can I have a seat? You're probably a little apprehensive at this moment. Probably say things like, are you going to throw something at me? Are you going to ignore me? Are you going to hit me over the head with your Bible and tell me that I need to repent? If you're not going to do any of those things, then please, have a seat. And then we get in dialogue. What did you mean? Throw something at you. And you get up because you don't even know where it went. Don't even know what it was. You're just scared to death. Well, somebody threw this at me. What do you mean hit you with the Bible? I don't know. These two guys came in here. Singing, when the saints go marching in, I thought that was something they did at the saints game, not to a person. Then they grabbed their Bibles and they started beating me over the head. Told me I was evil and vile. And then I started looking at this with you. Can I share with you what they were trying to do and they went all about it the wrong way? They wanted you to know that Jesus died for you. And for the things that you've done wrong and that are against God. And they wanted you to know of the love of Christ. Probably the one that threw this at you was a teenager, scared to death because you were the first person he ever tried to share with. I can't make excuses for what happened to you today. But I can tell you today that Jesus Christ is the best gift I ever received. Would you like to know more about Jesus? I have a question for you. How many of us be sinners like that? How many of us view the world like that? As humorous as the skit is when you see it live, or when you accidentally hit the girl over the head with a King James Bible, and you have a lot of laughs afterwards, the story still holds true. There's a lost and dying world out there who need a Savior, but they need to be surprised by love, not beat over the head with it. They need to be surprised by love and not have things thrown at them. They need to be surprised by love and not have people turn their nose up at them. Because how else will they know the Savior? I read an interesting article 2 weeks ago. Came across my email. I'd like to share with you. Joe Acuff. Excuse me. This is from Joe Acuff. He's former executive of Bose Sound System. Left Bose in a very lucrative position at Bose to go around to churches and share about how social media can be used to reach the lost and dying world. Here it says, dear person that does not go to church, I don't know how to say this, but when you're not around, we call you seeker. We say things like, what kind of music will seekers respond to? Or is that drama? Seeker focused or not. And when you show up on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, if our church is small enough, our seeker spider senses tingles a little. And we really hope that the service reaches you. But before you get mad, please know that the alternative is to call you lost, unsaved, or sweaty Philistine. Okay, we don't say that last one a lot. But my friend Joel said something to me tonight. He said, you know who the lost were in the New Testament? They were the people Jesus hung out with and loved on the most. So tonight, even though I'm in marketing, and I might want to treat you like a target audience or a demographic, I'm retiring the words seeker and lost. And from here on out, I'm just going to call you the people Jesus loved the most. You may say to yourself, well, Jesus hung out with his disciples the most, yes. But go and read the majority of the parables. Go and read the encounters that Jesus had. When the Pharisees and Sadducees harassed Jesus the most, who was he around? And what was he doing? He was surprising people by his love because they were the outcasts of the community in which he lived. Similar to the parable that he told that we will be looking at today in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now a certain priest, now by chance a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, similar to our couple. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed on the other side, similar to our couple in Park Bench. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. I want you to think about the Good Samaritan this morning. And let's just focus on him for a few moments. So like I said, the doctor shared with me a perspective that you may have heard before, you may not have. It was new to me. And as I studied it, the Lord showed me five things. The first one being seen in verse 33. The Good Samaritan identified a person in need. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion. If you haven't noticed, we live in a very needy world. And I've been told my entire ministry, no one cares how much you know or what you know until they know how much you care. We have to see people not as different, but as in need. Because you see, the Bible says in Romans that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. That means everyone in the world is a sinner. So no matter how different someone is, they're still lost. And unless they come to know who Jesus is, how are they going to be any different than what they grew up knowing? If they don't have a relationship with Him, how can they look like Him? See, I think sometimes we get it wrong. And I'm going through this journey in my own life, especially being in student ministry. That we expect when the lost come to church that they look like the saved. But if they never step foot in the church and we ask them to change immediately, will they come back? I shared several illustrations. A couple walked by. Didn't even know you on the bench. They didn't even know you. But they walked by and stuck their nose up at you. Shared of a young teenager that was scared to death, but at least they had enough courage to run by somebody and tell them Jesus loved them and throw a tract at them. Hopefully after you get over the fright, you'll pick it up and read it. Then I shared with you about two coming down the aisle that had never met you before. They just assumed that you were a sinner. I was playing basketball back home one Friday night with a bunch of my friends. And this guy came up to me and said, "Do you know you're a sinner?" He said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "You seem proud of it." He said, "I am." Kind of taken back. He said, "But I need to share Jesus with you." I said, "No, you don't, because I'm proud that I'm a sinner, because I know that Jesus saved me from my sins. But He put a label on me because I was there and I was dressed in basketball clothes and I was with guys that smoked, and He automatically put a label on me that I was a sinner." How many times do we do that? When we don't even know the need of that person. They may just need somebody to talk to. They may just need a good meal. They may just need love. But we've already judged them, so we're not going to help them. We're not going to talk to them. And we're not going to feed them. And I say that not to condemn the church today, because I'm guilty of it too. This passage was very hard to look at from this aspect because we have a needy community here in Ascension Parish and around the world. And they need Jesus. And unless we surprise them with our love, unless we make changes in our own life, me included, then how will we ever see them? There's a song by Brandon Heath that says, "Jesus, give me your eyes." And I look back and I see all these different passages of Scripture where Jesus went after the one. He left the 99 and went after the one. He lost one coin and He searched all over for it. Why? Because Jesus died for that one just as much as he died for me. Point number two, we see it in verse 34. The good Samaritan ignored the risk and implored compassion. Last word of 33 was compassion. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him out with his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Let's go ahead and bring up point number three. We want to talk about those two together. The Good Samaritan also was inconvenienced. You see, the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan was on a journey, and he probably had business, because you don't just travel this road if you don't have business from one town to another. He ended up taking himself off his animal and putting this injured person on the animal and walked him into the town. He used his own oil. He used his own things to take time to bandage his wounds. I had to ask myself this week, this is a question I said, Marvin, when's the last time you took time for somebody that you didn't know? To help them heal their wounds. To bandage their wounds. And to walk alongside them. When's the last time you put them in your car and took them somewhere? I'm telling you, this passage was tough this week. Verse 35 also says, on the next day when he departed, he took out two denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will come again and I will repay you. The Good Samaritan was willing to invest. You see, he was inconvenienced. He was implored with compassion. He took a risk. Because you see, the more time he spent there, what was to say those thieves weren't going to come out again and rob him? What was to say that those thieves weren't going to come out again and take his life and the guy that he was trying to help's life? But then he went one step further. He took money out of his own pocket for a guy that he didn't know. And he put him up and said, let this man heal here. And if I owe you anything, I'm coming back to the town. So evidently the Samaritan was known in the town pretty well. And he said, I'm willing to repay you whatever else it costs you to make sure this man is helped. When's the last time we went the extra mile? That's the question I asked myself this week. When's the last time, not only did I help somebody I didn't know, but when was the last time that I went the extra mile for somebody I didn't know? And all I could think about was a skit. And how many times I was that married couple I shared with you in the very beginning that looked at him and said, that's a sinner. He's not like me. I better not talk to him because my safety may be at risk. I better not talk to him because I might be talked about by somebody. I was looking at the danger. I was looking at myself. And when you have the eyes of Jesus, you can't look at yourself. Because you see, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, then your will, not my will, be done. And you see, with him, with you and me on his mind, he went and he got beat. And he endured all those lashes. He went and he got mocked. He went and was nailed to a tree. All to show you how much he loved you. I referred to a song a moment ago, Give Me Your Eyes. Jesus was willing to be nailed to a tree to see us come into a relationship with him. What should we be willing to do if we have the eyes of Jesus for the lost community that we live in? What should we be willing to do to show the people that Jesus loved the most that we love them too. Good Samaritan saw, identified. He ignored his own risk. He implored compassion. He was inconvenienced. He invested. And finally, in verses 36 and 37, as I share this message today, we see point number 5. The Good Samaritan was influential and impacted the lives of others. My hope is that you don't see me. My hope is that you don't see me today, because I'm not here. My hope is that you see the Word of God come to life to you like it's never come to life to you before. Like it has come to life to me this week. And that you and I both would begin to follow the example of the Good Samaritan. That we'd be willing to see people in need, not stereotype them. That we'd be willing to implore compassion on them. And that we'd ignore our own risk. That we'd be willing to be inconvenienced. That we'd be willing to invest in the life of others so that we're investing in the kingdom. And then finally, as the point shows, that we'll be influential people. And people will know that we are followers of Christ. And they will want the Jesus that we have. Because they see Jesus in us. Look at verses 36 and 37 with me. So which of the three do you think was... Which of the three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Our invitation and our challenge is simple. It comes straight from the words of Jesus. Go and do likewise. Go and surprise somebody this week with love. Who will you surprise? Let me give you a starting point, because I went through my list. Now take yourself off the bench. And put that person that you've walked all the way around the office to avoid. Take that person that you've come around your Christian circle and said, you know, there's a sinner at my work. And he does this and he does that. Or she does this and she does that. Take that person first. Whoever it may be. And say, God, just put it on my heart to share with you. Or not even that. Hey, I see that you're really struggling right now. Can I pray for you? Or, hey, do you need somebody to talk to? I'm here for you. If you need somebody to talk to. And just through that one act of compassion, the Lord may open the door for you to share His love with them. And to surprise them by love. And to surprise them by compassion. And then you have influenced that person. So today, you can do it where you are. You can come to the altar. But I ask you to think about that person and give them to the Lord. And I ask you today, that person that you want to surprise by love, ask the Lord today to help you, to show you how you can do it. It may be a note on their desk. It may be just giving them your phone number and saying if you ever need to talk. But who can you surprise with the love of Christ today? Let's pray. Holy Father, Almighty God, Abba, Lord, Savior, we come before you today. Thanking you that all those things we said, that I opened with, Father God, that we can call you. And Father, that you will give us the strength, that you will show us that person, that you will help us, Father God. To surprise with love this week. And the next week. And the week after that. Holy God, I come before you now. And I just ask that you have your will and your way done in the time of invitation, Father God. Not my will, but your will, Father. But Father, that you will set your church ablaze here at Ascension Baptist Church. So that we can have a greater impact in your kingdom. And that we can truly love our neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen.